Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Portuguese man of war.
Yes.
Has been saying to me for 10 minutes.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. And yes. I have been ready.
Are you ready, Luis?
For the last 10 minutes.
Luis is ready.
Apologies for the slight technical issues last week. We expected to be publishing Friday. It ended up being Monday. It was nothing to do with
Monday?
Us. Monday.
Wow.
It was everything to do with...
Luis.
Well. Yeah. My name is Richard Keys.
My name is Andrew Mullen Gray.
This is the Keys and Gray podcast, available from all good platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've found us. If you found us after a decade of searching and hunting.
A decade?
Well, we've been away 10 years now.
Yeah, but we haven't been doing this 10 years.
No, but it may be that there are some in the world that would think,
don't know where we are.
What happened to those two old fools?
Yeah.
Well, now you've found us, tell your mates where we are. This is an independent podcast, not sponsored by anybody. So... the more by word of mouth you let people know where we are, in some cases, I suppose these days, who we are.
hop cut. For those of a slightly older age, you'll remember the programme called Randall and Hopkirk.
Yes.
Where Randall was the live one, and I think Hopkirk was the ghost.
Hopkirk was,
Marty. He was definitely the ghost, wasn't
Marty
he?
Marty was the ghost.
He was the ghost, and we have become Hopkirk and Hopkirk.
What are you suggesting then?
Not a lot.
Because only Jeff could see Martin,
correct,
couldn't he?
And
that's how you
feel
sometimes.
And as we don't have a Jeff, no one can see us.
Oh, there's so much to get through. So much good stuff this week. Top 10 Premier League managers of all time.
Who
top your list?
Top Fergie.
Yeah, wrong.
Top 10 Premier League managers. He won, how many, 11?
13,
13?
I think, yeah.
13 Premier Leagues, two Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
And umpteen other cups.
There's a lot that we're going to discuss is about optics this week. In reverse order, at number 10, Mikel Arteta.
What?
Yeah. I know. 9.
Yes, we never done one league.
Ancelotti.
4 games of the season.
Shut up.
Yes.
It's only 18 months.
Ancelotti. Tuchel. 7.
No.
Yes. 7. Arsene Wenger. 6. Sorry, times.
Ah, Josie.
Yeah. See, well, my impersonations aren't bad.
Very good.
You're getting
these. Yeah, I get a lot.
Yeah. 5, Roberto Mancini. I don't mind him being...
No, he can't be better.
Wenger should be higher than 7.
Wenger 6 is a disgrace.
No, Wenger 7.
7?
Yeah. 4, Antonio Conte.
Oh, shut up. You take the piss now, aren't you?
3, Jurgen Klopp. 2... Sir Alex Ferguson.
They're going to see Guardiola?
Yes.
Oh, get off.
There you go. I said to you.
Get off. I'm sorry. What is it about that? Sir Alex Ferguson, 2nd.
Yes. Nonsense.
Absolute, total nonsense.
So it is having Wenger at 7. Mourinho's made more of an impact, I think, than Roberto. I get Mancini. Mancini changed everything at Manchester City. Turned them from the nearly men into winners. But even so,
why is Ancelotti up there? He was only here 18 months.
Yeah.
Why though?
He won the title with Everton.
But how can you be there? Now, if you're just saying to me worldwide figures, Carlo Ancelotti is up there as a worldwide manager. But yeah, if you're talking about the Premier League and what they achieved in the Premier League, is that the idea of it?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Well, it was printed by The Sun last week. It's one of those. So all the points go into the computer, and
so it's what he's done in his life.
They
then
spit out. Well, it has to be.
Yeah,
yeah.
God, it's got to be easy. How on earth can Guardiola be in front of Alex Ferguson as best Premier League manager of all time? It's just rubbish.
This past week, Manchester City couldn't score. Slick and tired was the back page of the Daily Mirror the morning after. Haaland left on the bench as Pep admits his City stars are exhausted.
Sorry.
An article here from the same day in the Times. City defenders cannot handle the schedule, says Guardiola, which is why he's making so many changes in his back four. Is this the same Pep Guardiola that took Manchester City to Barcelona?
Yeah, for a friendly.
For a friendly.
Or a charity match.
Well, a friendly to all intents and purposes, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Is that him?
That's him.
Okay.
That's him. No, I'm sorry, I ain't buying that, no.
Conte, optics. Conte, rope-a-dope masterclass, claims another bewildered victim. Brighton nil, Tottenham 1. Rope-a-dope masterclass. Now, let's just for a moment suppose that Jose Mourinho was in charge at Tottenham at the moment.
Would be dinosaur Mourinho.
Serving up this tosh. And I understand there's many ways to win a football match.
Of course
there is. We've said that down the years, but come on.
Yeah, but you can't call one manager a genius who plays football the same as another manager and call him a dinosaur.
No.
And just because he might be a few years older, it's absolutely nonsense.
Exactly.
Absolute nonsense.
Wigan could face FA punishment after their defeat at home against Cardiff was played with one goal bigger than the other.
I saw that. That's ridiculous. Well, that's fair enough. You won each half.
Well, it bit them because Cardiff's third goal came in off the tall bar.
Oh, never. And it would have missed. Yeah. Oh, unlucky.
But how can that be? How can a professional football club set up?
No idea.
With one goal bigger than the other?
No idea, because they must be putting the goals in and out every weekend. So something's happened.
This would be interesting. A bit of blue, the headline here. Adult webcam site launches audacious £180 million bid to buy the naming rights.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't say Goodison.
Yeah. No. For Everton's new stadium. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
There we are. StripChat is an international adult website and social network that features free live stream webcam performances, including nudity and sexual activity.
No, I think we might have to rethink that.
Which shouldn't even be part of the thought process.
But we might have to rethink that.
I mean, great publicity for whoever it is. Yeah. StripChat. But
I can't have that. We can't have that all over our strips.
No.
StripChat. No. No. Come on.
Best wishes to David Fairclough.
Yes. Super. Absolutely.
Who's in hospital having suffered a stroke. Really nice guy.
Lovely guy.
Used to see a lot of him when he was on Merseyside. Yeah. He's our age, Andy.
Yeah.
Clive Tilsley and I. He was very close with Clive. would always be part of the Radio City quiz team.
Will he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was a good quizzer.
Yeah, very much.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
I'm a hopeless quizzer, me.
I don't like it.
You're any good at quizzes?
No, I don't like it. I hate it.
Well, of course you don't like it. Do you know why you don't like it?
Why?
Because it involves drinking and having fun.
Speaking of which, good luck to Judith Keppel as well.
Oh,
very close friend of mine.
Yes, she is. What's the matter?
She's 80 now, and she's, after years, has quit Eggheads.
She's quit it?
Was on BBC Two.
She's okay, though.
She's okay.
Oh, good. Good. She was very important to us.
Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only reason I brought it up.
Oh, good. We got invited to go on to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
We did.
When Chris Tarrant was the host.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on. And
with no expectation.
No expectation.
We'd have taken a grand.
We had various members. We had my mate Lynn, who was there for
Lynn Morgan.
Whatever. Yep. He was there for golf, I think.
I'll tell you what he was there for.
What was he there
for? The one that you stumbled on, Marilyn Monroe.
Alan Shearer for football.
We had the former my mate at Sky.
Yeah.
Who's so close to me.
You forgot his name. And we came up with
Adam Bolton.
And suddenly somebody mentioned. I think you said to somebody, "Well, I've got an idea. quite...
No, it was Shrevesy, in fairness.
Was it Shrevesy?
It was Shrevesy who said, if you're going on there, you need to entertain, you need to have some fun. So he was absolutely right. He said, why did... Judith Keppel.
Judith Keppel. Idea,
just won a million.
Won a million.
Yeah. So when we got there and they asked us for our phone a friend list, we said, and we went through them and they were chuckling, and we went, Judith Keppel.
Judith Keppel.
And this researcher went, you don't know Judith Keppel. And we said, oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think you find we do. And of course, when we went on.
Actually, we didn't.
We didn't know her at all. No. We'd never met her. We just called. Somebody called and said, Richard and Andy would like to use their phone a friend tonight, Judith. And brilliantly, she could have said, get off, lads,
yeah.
Do one.
Yeah.
But she said, absolutely delighted to help the boys out. And we did. And went to Chris Tarrant's face when you went, oh, we'd like to phone a friend, Christopher. And Chris went, and who might that be, boys? Alan Shearer or somebody like that. We said, Judith Keppel, actually. You don't bloody know Judith Keppel. I think you'll find, Chris, when you call her, we do.
And the question was, something that you should have known,
I know,
really. Because
I did know it, but I kind of... I blanked. If I'd been sat at home, I'd have said...
The question about Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Popper and Prince and the Pauper.
Yeah.
Prince and the Showgirl, sorry.
Optics. Human rights campaigners are calling on England to boycott their opening World Cup game with Iran. I mean, come on. It's a World Cup. I understand...
Who's boycotting? Sorry, I missed that.
Human rights campaigners are calling on England to boycott Iran. Well, this tournament never get played.
I get it. I know what you mean.
So I have to reference this because the hypocrisy that goes with this knows no bounds. The front page of the Daily Mirror today, Friday, an article by Gary Lineker. Our message to Qatar. Two Prem stars are... Listen, I understand and I support the motive.
Yeah.
Right? But coming from Gary, it's hard to take, bearing in mind he was employed by... the predecessor to
Al Jazeera,
for the best part of 5-6 years.
Yes, he was.
Now, if he really is so upset about having to come here and report on the World Cup for the BBC, the money that he earned during that period of time, I would suggest, might be better used by those he's concerned about in this country.
Well.
From the same, the reason I mention it, Andy, from the same newspaper today, Crossy, John Cross, Premier League clubs to host glam Dubai games during the World Cup. A number of Premier League clubs are planning friendlies against each other in Dubai. Talk to me about human rights.
I know.
And LGBT plus.
I know. How was Dubai built, anyway?
The difference is what?
I don't know. I don't know the difference. What? Obviously, Crossy knows.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I said to you, optics. We understand the message has been delivered. I think people in the part of the world in which we live and work have understood and heard. There's a World Cup to be played soon. I'm not dismissing what these guys are saying and what has been said.
Nope.
Nobody here is.
Nobody's doing that, no.
But it's time, I think, to start talking about football. Former Wolves boss Nuno, keen on a return to Molineux. I should think he is.
Yeah, he's out of work.
Yeah. Well, he's been at Al Ittihad.
Has he?
Yeah.
All right. So he's there and he wants to go out because Wolves are still without a coach, of course, aren't they?
Yeah. But would that make sense?
Don't know. I mean, there's that many Portuguese in that team. He's probably the only one that can converse with them on a daily basis. Well, he is. I'm sorry, there was 8 Portuguese in the starting lineup 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago or something.
Yeah, I know.
8?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Thomas Tuchel has turned down offers from 2 unnamed Premier League clubs since being sacked by Chelsea. I guess that's...
Wolves?
Well, probably Wolves. Forest?
No.
Why not?
No. Well,
if they could have got him,
but he's
they
not
would
going,
have sacked Steve Cooper.
He's not going to Forest.
No, he's not. But there's no harm in asking.
No, I guess not. Would that be the only two? I would think there's nothing higher up, is there, that would come to mind.
The reason I mention this one is because I'm talking to a number of people close to the football club, and I read you a message I got last week about this. Salah sends clear message to Klopp that he can't ignore after finding a different position. I said to you last week, I'd asked a number of people, what is wrong with Mo Salah? And I got the answer back, he's sulking because he doesn't like being out there wide on that right-hand side. Now,
who's been that wee guy who's been out there for the last 5 years?
Yes, but it's if they're playing as the slight tweak to include Nunes up top, well, then you've got, it's a 4-2-3-1, isn't it, with him wider
as opposed
on
to
that
what?
Right-hand side.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to a 4-3-3.
Okay.
Well, talk to me about it.
Well, how's it? No, you're 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's to accommodate who? Nunes?
Yes. and to make them a little more solid in that midfield area that you've discussed.
Well, they can be solid enough in that midfield area if they just play if they played 4-3-3 with two sort of sitting players and one ambitious midfield player and they're too wide. I'm guessing they're alluding to the fact that Roberto Firmino plays number nine vastly differently to Nunes plays number nine. Nunes is what you would. The word is not proper, but he's a regular number nine who...
By the way, a good number nine.
Yeah. He wants to play number nine, whereas Firmino was dropping off, and maybe the way they used to play Mane and Salah from any space he left, they would tuck into and come in and make the attack from those kind of areas. Maybe that's it. Maybe because Nunes is right at the top end now, there isn't that room for him to do that. So he finds he's restricted and he's more wide now than he's been. But his starting position has always been wide. Always been. How many times do we see Virgil van Dijk rake a 60-metre ball from left-sided centre-back to Salah's feet wide on the touchline and him go and attack the penalty area from that wide area?
Don't shoot the messenger. So, I don't necessarily disagree.
I think that's maybe an excuse rather than a reason, a sole reason for his form. I think his form's been poor and we'll see what happened after his hat-trick in midweek against Rangers.
Mason Mount was gutted when Tomori was sent off. He said, I didn't think it was a sending off. Well, I've got a message for you.
No, I know what you think that. And I know everyone looking, apart from maybe knowing Chelsea fans, I'm not a Chelsea fan. But it's the laws of the game are such that Tomori had nowhere to go once the referee had given the penalty. You can argue all day long whether you thought it was a penalty, because it being a penalty is the reason he went off. Obviously, if it wasn't a penalty, he stays on. But the fact is, was it a penalty? Was it not a penalty? It was a clumsy challenge. Was it an absolute certainty? No. I think there were some referees.
It was a denial of an opportunity.
I think there are a lot of referees wouldn't have given it. I mean that. I think there's a lot of referees would not have given that. And Tomori would have stayed on. And we could have argued the case. It should have been a penalty. It should have not. But as soon as he gives a penalty, because Tomori makes no attempt to play the ball, double jeopardy can apply.
Yeah. Alan Shearer claims Harry Kane would score as many goals as Erling Haaland if City had signed him last season. Thoughts?
Who would have scored as many as Haaland?
No. Alan Shearer claims Harry Kane would score as many goals as Erling Haaland in the Manchester City team.
No, he wouldn't. Please, definitely.
Well, listen.
He'd score a lot.
As an interested amateur, that would be my view.
Scores a lot.
I wanted to get your thoughts on it. No, it's a position you play.
He plays it differently. Would he score, he'd probably... No, he wouldn't get more headers. He doesn't get many headers anyway. So is he quick? Is he as quick as Haaland? No. So he wouldn't be as much a threat in behind as Haaland. He's great feet. He'd probably score more from outside the box than Haaland. But Haaland's a predator in the penalty area. Harry's not. He's always said that. He's always claimed he's more a 9.5 than a 9. Haaland's a 9. He's up there. He's the focal point. He's the reference point for everything they do. He's always in that 6-yard box waiting for tap-ins and knock. And we've seen them, the variety of goals that he scored. Harry would have scored a bucket full of goals at City. I just don't think you'd get as many as Haaland.
9 billion the Glazers want for Manchester United. 9 billion. What a deal that was. Whether you like them or not, whether you subscribe to whether they have been a good or bad influence on
the most United fans will see they haven't been.
From their point of view, what a deal.
Well, they're businessmen, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not much.
Others could have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poacher turned gamekeeper. Who is this MLS coach whose team last week ended their season bottom? No relegation, of course, as we know in America. But what made me laugh was after I'd been through the whole of this article, this was apparently the last thing he said to his players. I hope you're fit when you come back for pre-season. We can't afford to waste time. Poacher turned gamekeeper.
I hope you're fit. So it's obviously somebody that maybe came back and wasn't so fit when he used to turn up for training in pre-season.
Very good.
Is that right?
Yes, very good. Could only be Wazza, can't it?
I was going to say Wazza. I was only going to say, because I knew he'd have a tough time since he went to the US. And they finished bottom.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, they weren't having a very good season when he went, so I wouldn't entirely put that down to him. I mean, look at Phil Neve in the first season, struggling this year, doing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
But what made me laugh was this
Wazza saying, come back.
I think all of those that know Wazza intimately would have raised a smile when, if they actually read that.
Yeah. Better luck next season, Wazza.
On the subject of Liverpool, thoughts, please, on what you saw unfold at Ibrox this week?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Nothing that... I mean, the scoreline is shattering for anyone who supports Rangers. Shattering. I never thought we'd win. I thought we'd give them a better game. I thought we'd be more competitive. We seemed to, which was a little annoying, we seemed to lose focus and concentration and everything when Conor Goldson went off in the second half, when the game was still fairly tight, although Liverpool were miles better. Scoreline was still manageable. But then we seemed to just collapse and fold, and that's an alarming thing for me. I didn't expect Rangers to almost just, I don't want to say give in, because I know the guys wouldn't have done that. Certainly consciously they wouldn't have done it. It's a sobering lesson in how far away Rangers are. I said to you when we did Tuesday night at BN Sports, well,
fairness,
1 mile away.
I think Scottish football.
Yes.
Celtic and Rangers have got a point between them this year.
Exactly, so Richard. It's a sobering lesson to all in Scotland and maybe Scottish football itself, that how far away it is from where, you know, we would like it to be. I mean, how Rangers got to the final of a European competition last year, I have no idea.
What I was going to say.
It was an amazing feat.
The other side
feat
of that coin is that you can't give up. You have to keep going.
Yeah.
In general, Scottish football has to say, okay, maybe there's another direction in which we need to travel now. But
I don't know what that is.
You can't not be involved.
Oh.
I read from the Times, David Sanderson, the arts correspondent, this is.
Right.
The referee who made the biggest mistake in football history, in the eyes of the English anyway, is set for a bumper payday after putting the Hand of God football up for auction. This is Ali bin Nasser, who was the referee on that afternoon. How much do you think his ball is worth?
Well, let's go back. How much was Maradona's shirt go for?
40.
Was it 40 mil? Right. Well, the ball's not going to be worth as much as that, I don't think.
Agreed.
So let's...
And you're a man who's spent a few quid at auctions down there.
Yeah, for good causes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. For good causes. So I would say let's half that value, so it's 20, and then maybe half it again.
But for good causes, except the ITV monkey that you wanted to buy. That's another story. Which would finish this and then we'll
we really have to tell that
one. Yeah, we do. I'll tell you then, so we can get onto that. 2.5 to 3 mil.
I was going to say 5. How would
I? You know, I've never had a problem with what Maradona did. I have a problem with what the officials didn't do.
Yeah.
Because if that had been Lineker at the other end, we'd have taken that.
Oh, of course you would. So, anybody would. Any team would. You wouldn't turn around and say, sorry, ref.
No.
I handballed that in. So disallow the goal, please.
Thierry Henry's in that same bracket.
Exactly.
You know, he got away with one. So the monkey, when ITV launched their new channel, we were at a boxing event.
Mm.
And you remember the monkey?
I do remember the monkey. He used to annoy me, the monkey.
Yeah, so you wanted to buy it, didn't you?
It came up for auction.
Johnny Vegas was his partner.
That's right.
It came up for auction. Buy this monkey, this ITV mascot.
Yes.
The flag of their new sports channel.
And was you that wanted a sports channel?
Yeah, well, it was ITV.
Was that? Is that what the monkey was? I just never liked the monkey.
No, I think you didn't like ITV.
Well, we worked at another channel. So.
We were up at 2.5 grand when I'm sitting very quietly because I know the auctioneer is looking in our direction and I'm thinking, I don't want to get caught up in this. Some mug behind me is going to pay 2.5 grand for this any minute now. And I looked at you and your hand kept going, what are you doing? He said, I want to step in that ring and rip that monkey's head off and kick it back out. Not for 2.5 grand, you don't.
I know, you made me stop. You made me stop, but that was for a good cause. I wasn't going to do that to the monkey.
Just before we talk to our guest, who I'm really looking forward to spending time with today, this one is nothing to do with sport, but it just jumped out at me. Fly Me to the Moon is the headline. A financier and space tourist, Dennis Tito, wants to go to the moon. He's 82.
Wow.
And he's bought tickets for him and his wife on a spacecraft that doesn't exist yet. But I thought about that this morning and I thought, no.
What?
Would you run the risk of flying to the moon? Literally, flying to the moon?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd quite fancy that. Would you not?
No.
Oh, come on. Imagine looking at the Earth from back there.
I've seen it on Google.
Yeah, no, you haven't.
I have.
You've only seen a picture of it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, but...
It's one of the most famous pictures.
But can you imagine... You wouldn't want to go around the moon, whiz round it...
No.
...and get catapulted back to Earth?
No, I wouldn't, no. I might be the one that was in 13.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing, but I mean... No, I mean, I think that would be exciting. That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Well...
As you watch the Earth disappear.
Yeah, but you also might be watching
yourself
what
disappear.
You know disappear. There's no way back if it goes wrong, is there?
You never know what's going to happen in this life. You should know better than that.
I'd rather take my chances with my feet on the ground, if I'm honest. So I don't know. I thought about that. Then I thought, well, he's 82.
Yeah,
so
why not? He's got a few
by the time
bombs.
He goes, he might be 92.
If he gets there, then he could go now, couldn't he? Can't you buy these now where he can just go?
Well, up? Not go to the moon. You can go up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Into space.
Yeah.
And then come back down again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be nice as well. Would you do that?
No.
Oh, for God's sake.
I wouldn't jump out of an aeroplane.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's far too.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dangerous.
I
wouldn't bungee jump either.
No.
Wouldn't bungee jump.
Risks in crossing the road.
Correct.
For me. That's fine.
Yep.
I would not get myself involved in any of that.
No, not at all. But I mean, I think that's like going to the moon.
Would you go in the jungle? Space.
What jungle? No. A TV show?
Yeah.
No.
Half a mil?
No.
Why?
I know. Quite simply, no, I'd rather be poor. Like now.
Let's speak with our guest. One of the great comedic characters, I don't think he necessarily knows that is the case. A dry humour, which you have to admire and laugh with, not at.
Oh, yes.
Missed, I think, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Missed.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to be looking forward to spending time in the company of the former Republic of Ireland manager, Mick McCarthy. Michael Joseph McCarthy.
Joseph, yeah.
Yeah.
Joseph. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you?
I'm very well, gentlemen. And are you? Lightly, but I'm very well, thank you.
Well, you're looking well, I must say. And can I immediately make the point that neither Andy nor myself intends to win Dick of the Day?
Dick of the Day is not for us today, Michael.
Well, you're more than welcome to have it because nobody's got that award as yet.
What is Dick of the Day, Mick, the uninitiated?
Be careful with this, Mick. Just explain the award, but we don't really want to get into that territory.
Yes.
I don't want
we don't get into that territory, but I mean, what is it for?
The Dick of the Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll tell you.
Well, I can't really, because if I do, then I become Dick of the Day.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so I'll explain it briefly, and then we can move on. There's an award in Mick's family.
Right.
And I quite like this because this also applies to you and I.
Does it?
Yeah, we get this question. Or we get a similar question addressed to us on matters from history.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Dick of the Day is the first person in Mick's day that asks him about...
Past events.
Yes, Japan.
Ah, right.
And it's something that happens on a daily basis.
Shut up.
So we're
it's
not,
20 years ago.
I know.
Ah, well, okay.
So we're not going there.
No. Right. Anyway, what happened in Japan? I'll get out of the way. I'll take the honour. I've not won anything for ages, Mick.
Right, you've won it. We don't need to answer it.
It's nice to meet the only person in the world that doesn't know what happened in Japan. Anyway, everybody else has an opinion on it.
That's
true.
Michael, I wanted to put this to you very early. I've just been looking through one or two things with Andy from the newspapers today, and Matt Dickinson writes a very nice piece. He says, occasionally I demand that my teenage sons watch a clip from a glorious old game on YouTube. They reluctantly take a glimpse, see a muddy pitch, grainy footage, and declare, "Yeah, but that's crap old football." The point he makes is that there was a comparison on Sky this week, Haaland, with what can be achieved in the Premier League, and he goes on to point out, correctly in my view, that, you know, never mind what you might be able to achieve in terms of Alan Shearer's record-breaking season in the Premier League. What about Dixie Dean, who filled his boots on his way to a staggering 60. Career total of 390 in 447 appearances?
I know.
What I didn't realise was the first season he got those 60 goals, the offside law was changed so that an attacker was played onside by two defenders, not three. But you know, Premier League records, and we are guilty, Mick, I suppose, but we only ever talk about football back to 92, don't we? Which means that neither yourself nor Andy had a career.
No, you didn't play, which is Mick. Madness.
I know. I had a glittering career with nobody watching me at all.
But
well, I'm not, but I enjoyed it. I tell you what about, talk about records, what about Cluffy's goal scoring record? Have a look at that one. That's unbelievable.
Oh yes.
Brian Clough.
Yeah.
That is an amazing, when anybody starts talking about goal scorers, his is phenomenal.
Can I put it to you, Michael, that it was in the second division?
I'm not bothered. You still got to score a goal. There you are, Andy. I'm sticking up for the goal scorers.
Yeah, quite right. Well done, Ricky. That's unusual, but well done.
Now, you two also have something in common.
We have something in common.
Yes.
Mick and I. We're both Celts.
Both Celts.
Uh-huh.
Both played in the Scottish Cup final.
Yes. Yes. I played in the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah. Not the one when Mick won it, though.
Yeah, well, that's why they won it, because you never picked me that day, Souness. Tosser. I can't believe it, Mick. You remember that day, obviously, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I remember him well. Goal scorers, if you're Haaland playing, and you're playing in the best team, arguably the best team in the world, and you're arguably the best centre forward in the world, you're going to score a lot, aren't you? He'll be 40 goals this year, if he plays all the game.
Yeah, easy. Easy, Mick. He's 20 already. Goodness me.
Well, Shearer said this week, Mick, that if City had signed Harry Kane last season, he'd be getting as many goals. Do you agree?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think he's a different player. Harry Kane seems to have changed his playing. He's dropping deep. He's got runners off him. And I don't think Harry Kane is as quick as Haaland, what I've seen of him.
No, he's not.
He is quick. But I still think when they're marking him, I'm watching people marking him, they should get hold of him in the box and not let him move. Once he does you, his first movement's for you and the second one's for him, and he seems to get away with it all the time.
He's a big lad though, Mick, isn't he? I mean, he's 6'4". I mean, even in your day, you never came across many giants like that that were as quick as that, that were as controlled with their body movement as he is. It's such a tall man.
No, the one that... I came across playing against was Ruud Gullit.
Oh.
He was quick as him. He was as big as him. He was technically, well, it may be technically better than him. He didn't score goals. But he was amazing. I remember playing against him in 88. And, I played against you, the first thought is, I'm going to go and try and rough you up. I couldn't do that because he was strong. And then, you know, I was never going to run against him. So I was desperate for the Dutch team to kick a ball up in the air so I could go and beat him in the air. And when they did, I jumped behind him. I've got all these dreadlocks in my face. When we landed, I thought, oh, he's beat me in the air as well. But then I realised he'd caught his chest. I'm in serious trouble.
He could do that.
Yeah, he was a player.
Rotate the front four, and he went and played wide on the left, and Chris Hughes never gave him a kick, and I never saw him again. It was great.
I want to share a few memories, Mick, so I keep trying to take you back. Let me throw this one at you. Paul Merson on playing for Arsenal at Manchester City for the first time. You know the story, I'm sure. We kicked off. I ran up front, and Mick McCarthy smashed me in the mouth with his forearm and said,
Mako,
you fucking come near me again and I'll snap you in two. He said, that'll do for me. I never went near him again.
But they did that. Mick and his lot, you did that in those days. You did intimidate with threats of violence all the time.
And I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to play a game. And it worked. I ended up with a career for myself. Yeah, Merce, I know he told me that story himself once, and I said to him, I hope you're not looking for an apology. It was just a term of endearment, that's all, at that time.
I got it off my first time as a kid, Mick. I sampled that, one of your boys, not your boys, but the centre-backs that were really, was Norman Hunter. Oh my God. I miscontrolled a ball, Mick, and it went past him, and I was a kid, I was about 19, 18, and I zoomed, nicked past him and had a shot. I didn't even mean to do it, I didn't mean to beat him. And he came up to me and said, he says, if you effing do that again, I'm going to half you in two, you little twat. I went, honestly, Norman, I miscontrolled that, I really did.
Oh, by the way, Andy, he could play on all.
Oh, he could.
He was my man after Alan Clark. And I was amazed, you know, I supported Leeds as a kid, I still support Leeds now.
Aye.
And but he was just so tough.
Yeah.
And he'd one of those, he'd come in and he could shorten his stride and he'd nail you, you know, and he could be turn his back on the outside of you. But football-wise, yeah, he was brilliant.
He was, wasn't he?
He was a great footballer, yeah.
Who invented the gegenpress, Mick?
Gegen.
What is
it? Well, what is the gegenpress? The gegenpress is... Go on.
Jimmy, when we were in the Irish team and he had to put him under pressure,
yeah,
which was, you know, turn him around and get up behind him and go and press him. We'd strangle him, we wouldn't let him out. So it wasn't called the gegenpress then, but, I mean, who invented the possession game? And who invented the high press, low press, mid press? Is that, you know...
I tell you who it wasn't, Mick. I tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't Gagan. Because he wasn't around when I played, and he wasn't around when you were playing. And I think we kind of did the same sort of things.
I think so. It's just, well, the terminology now for all different things is incredible. Hence, I was watching Millwall play. They were playing the school team. It was their youth team. And that my nephew was playing in the school team. So I walked around to see, there's a goalkeeping coach who I knew, and I went around to see him, and he was stood with another chap and introduced himself as, he was the medical guy. I said, oh, are you the physio? He said, no, I'm the head of physical enhancement and physiology in this department. I said, fucking hell, how wide your door to get that title on? I said, seriously,
what a great line.
His door must be big wide, his door to get his on. He's a physio.
I mean, I've noticed that, like you, Mick, people who played in our era, the so-called dinosaurs of the game, as we're known now. But all these, the way that it's changed to, you know, when somebody just used to play off the front or in the hole, now they're between the lines and all this, and there's yellow, green, and amber, green, and red press.
Yes.
You've got the amber, green, and red press.
The high block, the low block.
The high block, the low block. I'm giving you these in case you're back in the game soon.
Does any of it make any difference, Mick? I mean, has it really changed, or has the way we talk about it changed?
Well, the way we talk about it's changed, but the game's changed. The game has changed, no doubt about that. When two centre-halves are stood either side of the six-yard box and receiving the ball from the goalkeeper and passing out, which some of them actually, I think, do pass out when they get ball given to them there. That's changed the game.
Yeah.
You know, do fan out. Whether they can play or not, it seems that is the way to play. And I don't know. The game has changed, definitely. But I have to say, though, when I see it done well, there's some great football played nowadays. Really. Definitely some very good football.
All right, Mick. And the game has changed. I agree with you. Right. So is there a danger it might become so one-dimensional that it isn't fun? Well, by that, I mean, you talked about it. Even people who can't play, are not very good at playing, still seem to want to put two centre-backs out of the corner of the six-yard box and try and play out. Are we in danger of saying that that's the only way to play and the rest is rubbish?
No, I mean, look, I got it a bit in at clubs I've been at when we've been a bit direct. And all I say to people is I've never been sacked for winning games, however you win them. Mm. So whether you're playing long ball or you're playing 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 or one in the hole and two up front, I mean, there's that many ways now. But I do appreciate the way, and wherever it's come from, mm-hmm. there's a more people are trying to play more. Football is entertaining. Football is watching your team win.
Correct.
You know, you turn up on a football fan and you win 1-0, and really don't matter how you've won. The only way it matters is when you've lost. And if you've played shite and lost, then you're in trouble. No. And even if you played one and lost and you keep losing, you're in trouble. It's all about winning games. I just think you have to find a formula with the players you've got.
Yeah.
With the tools that you make the best of.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you remember playing against this rough and tumble centre forward, Mick?
I do. I played against Wolves the very first time. Yeah. When you had to walk across a pitch to get to the pitch.
Yes. I remember that, Mick.
It
was miles away.
It was. Yeah.
I think the pitch was better than the shitty pitch we played on, Andy.
That was terrible, I know. It was an awful place then, Mick, wasn't it? It was dreadful. Yeah. I remember, I think, I'm pretty sure as well, not one of my favourite memories, but I think, did we not, and I know you started the game, I think Derek White was your partner that season when you won the FA Cup or the Scottish Cup and we won the league at Ibrox. I think I was subbed that day at Parkhead when you beat us 3-1. I'm sure I was. And I'm sure I came on. I'm sure you kicked lumps at me for the short time I was on there. I'm almost definite
well,
there.
I'd be disappointed if I didn't, Andy, because I'd have let myself down. it was that's the way you played. I mean, you know, my tells me and the scars on my head that I played against one or two forwards that let me have it. That's how it was. Yeah. I never, you know, if you got kicked and if I'd have laid you out, you'd have got up and wanted to retaliate.
Oh, of course.
You wouldn't have rolled
no.
to get me booked. You'd want to punch me in the face, which I always appreciate. The one rolling around, and I'm sounding like an old fart, probably. But
no, but I don't think anyone likes that, Mick. I don't think anybody who appreciates the modern game, and we all do, likes to see players like feign injury and roll around as if they're you know, going to be carried off any minute, and then they're up sprinting 10 second, 100 meters in the next second. It's terrible.
I would give. I'd like to say I give the referees a good mention this year. Uh-huh. And I don't normally say because my litany of red cards and yellow cards were tested. They are being far more. Well, they're being intolerant of people trying to get balls over, and. I prefer it that sometimes they've got it wrong when it is a foul.
Correct. I agree with
you. Rather than a centre-half running back towards protecting the ball going out for he's going out for a goal kick and the centre-forward touches him, the centre-half falls over.
Yeah.
And he free kick. I hate it. I mean, so, you know, you wouldn't knock that centre-half over with a baseball bat normally. You're trying to get a bloody...
I think that's that. I concur. I mean, you're absolutely right. And the point you make about sometimes get it wrong for the benefit of
long term.
Yes, much better. Is it possible to say, Mick, where you enjoyed your career most?
Possibly in terms of what I achieved in terms of winning stuff was at Celtic. We won the double and we won the cup, but I didn't play as many games there because I'd had a lot of games already. I really do. It's a bit glib. Like, I enjoyed every bit of it. Barnsley was my first club, and we got promoted fourth to the third, third to the second. Alan Clark managed me. Norman Hunter managed me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that was wonderful for me in terms of my development. But then Man City was, you know, moving there and getting promoted, playing in the first division. I enjoyed every bit of it. I can't say one over the other, because every bit of it was just different, but just as enjoyable, thankfully.
Was management a poor second, or was it equally as enjoyable?
No, it's about a poor third and fourth.
I knew you'd say that, yeah.
Okay, you know, I don't know, you seem to enjoy every aspect of... Yeah, in fact, I think when you're playing, Andy, you're just playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just a joy all the time. You don't walk around. And I can't ever remember thinking, when I was a player, phew, this is a pain in the arse. I don't fancy this. As a manager, there's some days I thought, Jesus, you know, we've lost three or four on the bounce, and you're going in and you're trying to rally the troops. And You know Ian Evans, Kath, my assistant, he used to he'd say to me, if we're having one of those days, right, Monday morning we've lost. Red nose, silly act, juggling routine today. We've got... And that was just for me and him to get us going. And that was just weird. You know, and if you're feeling lousy about a result on Saturday and you're coming in on Monday morning, you've got to be the one that's getting everybody else going.
Yeah.
Whereas a player, you know, you're trooping all your mates, you sit and you wait, what's going to happen? Right, what's the manager doing today? What's the coaching staff doing today? If you're one of those coaching staff, you've got to go in and get them at it. That's the difference.
That is the difference.
So, no, coaching and management I love, but not as much as I love playing. No, it's great.
Who's the best Premier League manager in history? I'm asking that for a reason.
Well, it's only an opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would think, I don't, well, in my opinion, it's Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, me too. Mm.
Sir Alex.
You know, why I ask, big man, tell him.
Well, I saw an article in The Sun this week, and I probably shouldn't continue this beyond mentioning the newspaper I saw it in, but the best 10 Premier League managers of all time, Mick, and they've got Pep Guardiola top of the pile, and Andy and I were discussing it before you came on. That can't be right. Somebody that's won 13 Premier League titles is surely by far and away the best Premier League manager of all time.
Yeah, I think Pep Guardiola has changed, and he is not solely responsible, but big part of it is for the way football's the league and what he brought to it. But if you think about, well, think about where Manchester United were when Sir Alex took. He had a bit of a. We all need a little bit of luck at some stage, and you know that cup final maybe was a bit of luck that you have, and they end up winning it. Who knows what could have happened if he didn't? But then to go on and do what he did was unbelievable. But I'd also judge it on the fact that what has everybody else done since he's left?
Yeah.
Is to testimony to him and to how well he did with Manchester United. Well, he had the biggest club and he had the best players and he had the most money. Well, that's still the same, but they're not ruling like they did when he was there.
No.
And they play brilliant football, 4-4-2, amazing football team. Yeah. It was all based, all, you know, they score three, we'll score four. It was, and you know what, and since, the amount of help he gives to other young managers, I remember getting me message from him when I was first at Millwall, just a letter coming through the post, wishing me well, good luck, you know.
Wow.
He helps a lot of young ones as well. Good.
Excellent.
We miss you, Mick.
We've got
a World Cup on the horizon. We've had issues with COVID, which has meant we can't see so many people as we would have liked to in this part of the world. But hopefully going forward, when things settle down, come and see us at Bein and we can continue the conversation.
Yeah. Are you working the World Cup? Are you?
We are, Michael.
Working. Wow. I'm looking forward to a day off and we've not even started yet.
Hey, for two old gits, Mick, we're still here and enjoying it. Like you said about playing, you know, and Ray Wilkins once said this to me, dear Ray, play as long as you can, because once it's gone, that's the end of it. I think it's the same in anybody's career with whatever they do, isn't it? And, you know, we're lucky still to be grinding it out and very happy to be doing so.
Well, I'm saying the same about management. If I can get another one, I'd do it.
Of course you would.
Keep doing it.
Well, good luck with that, big man.
Mick, thank you so much for talking to us.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Cheers, pal.
See you, buddy. Yeah, apologies that there were occasionally issues with the sound there. It was intermittent at times, but I think we got the message.
And I think our magical fingers man from Portugal will sort that sound problem, won't you?
Now it's all too late.
Well, I think it came through okay.
Do you think Mick knows how funny he actually is?
No, he can't do. He can't do. He makes me chuckle all the time. I'd love talking to Mick.
It's just that very dry Yorkshire manner that he has.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And it's funny.
It is funny. Anyway, I'm glad I've got his Dick of the Day award anyway. So that's
I'm glad we got through without talking about it. It is one of those things that it happened so long ago.
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah. And I guess every time he gets in a taxi or he goes to the shop or boards a plane.
What happened in Japan, mate? Yeah. That must do his head in.
I think, and he's right. I think we all know now anyway, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
So
pretty much.
Well, that's it for another week. It's been much fun. And enjoy your football this week. Well, I'm presuming now this is actually going to be published.
Well, I don't know. Apologies last week to everyone who looked for it for 2 days and couldn't find it. Luis.
This could go horribly wrong again. But if we do get out Friday, which is the plan, enjoy your football this weekend.
Good weekend this as well. Some good games this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, very much so. We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.